Hello and welcome back to the Master of None podcast. I am your host, Stephen Murphy. As always, I'm joined by the regular rugby crew that is Westy and Sam. We are back with some URC action. Six Nations has its week off, so the URC is back. All four provinces in action. But before we get stuck into that, as always, we will check in with the boys. Westy, start with you because me and Sam were in the same place the weekend. So we'll start with your weekend. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I had a nice long weekend. I was off work Thursday and Friday. Took a trip down to Cork for the weekend, for the earliest parts of the weekend. Staying in Fota with my partner. Went to Fota Wildlife Park, which is pretty class. Got to play with some red pandas and some kangaroos that were running around. My missus nearly ran off with the pelican because he was pretty cool, in fairness. And then we didn't
make fly.
Fair enough, we didn't drive up to Limerick for the Munster game, but we did make it back to Galway on Saturday in time for the Connacht game, which was a good win. But, you know, again, maybe don't want to go into too much detail about the win, but you will be the judge of that. But yeah, had a lovely weekend, a nice trip, and then, I'd say, a nice recover and a nice quiet day on Sunday to recover from it all.
Is there any updates on Panda Watch? Did you get to see Ying Ling at all? Did they let you in to see the panda?
There are no giant pandas in Fota. There's just red pandas. And, you know, the debate rages on, but I would say that red pandas are far better than pandas.
What?
They said...
That is...
Oh, wow. Terrible. Sam is upset.
I'm disappointed. As a former chairperson of the Chengdu Pandas rugby... Or former director of rugby of the Chengdu Pandas rugby team and fellow Skive off work on a Wednesday to go see the pandas in their... what was it?
Pandorama. Pandorama.
Pandorama, sorry.
Yeah, that's a scientific term for a panda sanctuary.
Panda research base. I thought you were a big panda. I'm into a red panda, but they're kind of just like funny looking fox badgers. Giant pandas are mad bears.
I never said I didn't like giant pandas. I just said I preferred a red panda. I was also the director of rugby for the Rock and Red Pandas, which was our women's team. So, you know, you got to do both. I went to the panda sanctuary to see the giant pandas and I fell in love with a red panda. And if I wasn't already in love with them in Fota, they are adorable.
That red panda that was asleep in his bowl of food. I might tweet this picture later because it's one of the most phenomenal photos I've ever taken. And it was just of this lazy-ass red panda beside a bowl of food.
I think the song Panda in Red comes to mind with Westy. Fell in love that day.
Yeah, great Christopher classic.
But I wanted to go back there and see the panda that said you cannot do that. That is a live panda. He will rip your face off. I just wanted to get that. One of my favorite quotes from a film of all time. Want to go to Fota Island in some sense myself. Golf course there. I'm sure there Westy, you part.
I ate in the golf club.
That's probably the closest you'll ever see Westy to a golf course.
The soup was great.
Did you take my advice, Westy, and get the black pudding?
We didn't have it in the restaurant that we were eating in.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Scandalous. Yeah. That's good, though. We had a good weekend, Sam. We went to Belmullet. Myself and Sam set off Saturday morning for a romantic weekend, just me and him, to play Cairn Golf Links, which has been on our list for probably, 2 years now, Sam, I'd say? We wanted to play this course.
Yeah, there was no lying up before with Chase and Scratch, but two golf podcasts that we listened to both raved about it. And since they raved about it, I've wanted to play it, watched videos of it, listened to other people, read about it. And we went out of our way this year to get there.
Yeah, and it was unbelievable. We arrived Saturday, sun was shining, but the wind was, I think, scaling up to probably 60 mile an hour, Sam, I would say.
That's what the app said, gusts between 50 to 60, yeah.
Yeah, so it was. I've never experienced anything like it, but the sun was shining. We got, you know, we got battered by the wind, but we had a great time. And then Sunday, it was just the perfect conditions. It was sunny, a little bit of a breeze, but we had pretty much the course to ourselves, and it couldn't have been a better experience in terms of, you know, a golf one. So, couldn't speak more highly of it. Check my Instagram for some sick pics of Irish natural landscape at its finest. Sam, you fell in love as well.
Oh, I've been thinking about it all day, to be honest. The size of some of the sand dunes you were playing amongst was... I sent some pictures to friends of mine and I was like, these photos don't do the steepness of this hill justice. There was holes hitting straight up a steep hill and holes hitting straight down a steep hill. I can't speak more highly of it. My calves are in bits. My hamstrings and calves are burning all the walking we did. I think you said you clocked in about 16,000 steps.
just up and the down, golf,
a lot of hills against some wind. And the first day, the wind was so strong that at one point I was trying to stand over my ball and I was being pushed back and I nearly fell over. I had to walk away. So the experience was unbelievable. I can't wait to try and get back at some point. And if you are listening to this and you're thinking about doing it and you can only go for a day, try and time it with the Wild Atlantic Dunes course, because both courses are amazing. But that set of nine was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah, just do what we did. Go Saturday, Sunday, play both. But yeah, just speaking of calves, anyone who knows me knows I've got pretty breathtaking calves. Wesley, you'll vouch for this. But you can only imagine how strong they were looking after all that walking, Wesley. I'm sure you were fantasizing about it at some stage.
I mean, not a night goes by where I don't think about your calves.
Yeah, just natural, man. El natural, yeah. Baby.
That's why I keep buying you shorts every Christmas. You know? Just want to see those calves.
When there's a website called Only Calves, I'm signing up. I'm gonna rake it in.
That's a good name for a mart.
Yeah, it is. It's a good farming app. Only Calves as well. But look, we're not here talking about my calves. That's a separate podcast, and I'm definitely up for creating one. But we're here talking about some ruggers. And URC is back. Round 11, I believe it was, which is pretty crazy. Westy, you were at the game. Me and Sam missed another game. Been poor year for me for attendance. Just always seems to be something on, which is a shame. I think I've been to 3 home games, maybe 2. But yeah, Connacht hosted Scarlets on a pretty cold looking Saturday. Again, me and Sam were watching it. The sun was shining, but everybody in the crowd was completely wrapped up to an inch of their lives, which kind of, I think, sent home how cold it was. But Connacht came out on top, 26 points to 10, a bonus point win at the Dexcom Stadium, the Dexcom Indoor Arena. I'm going to start calling it random stuff at this stage. But I think we'll separate this, Westy, into result and performance. You were there in person. Let's talk about the result, first of all. I think we're all in agreement here. A 5-point bonus win. Performance we can talk about in a second. But, Westy, this is exactly what we needed. We'll never shake our head at a 5-point bonus win. Am I correct?
Yeah, I don't think we can, particularly given the kind of season that we're having. And again, I don't necessarily say that it's a bad season, but in that we're not picking up, we haven't really picked up too many bonus point wins. I think maybe was it the Edinburgh game was the only league game that we've won with a bonus point so far this year. Now we've picked up the losing bonus points, which is good.
Glasgow, Edinburgh was the draw.
Glasgow was in the sports ground. Yeah, sorry, Edinburgh was the draw. So yeah, like, and a lot of those games, if you look back, we have 3 tries after 45, 50 minutes.
Missed out on the draw with that.
Sorry. Sam's just trying to catch me out here now. Feed me fake facts and then be like, actually, no, you're wrong. But yeah, so picking up the bonus point hasn't been something that we've done. And arguably, we've been in positions to do it multiple times and we haven't. We've either kind of let the game kind of peter out or we just haven't been successful. Yeah, so I don't think we can really have too much criticism of a bonus point win. It was exactly what the doctor ordered. And if you don't want to read too much into it, but look at 9 points from 2 games, one of them away, that's a pretty satisfactory return. You know, like I can't complain too much. Yes, we're still one of the lowest try scoring teams in the league, so, and it is quite tight, so it could come down to points difference. So that's the only thing. Maybe again, looking at the results, not the performance, looking at the results, you could say Could we have pushed on? And when we talk about the performance, we'll talk about that. But yeah, maximum points from a game. I think, again, it's the type of thing. Again, context of the game is important. But if you'd offered us a 5-point win without playing the game, I would have taken it. I don't really care too much about the scoreline. So, within context. But yeah, as far as the score goes, it's exactly what we needed, a 5-point win.
Just the stat there about try scoring. I don't know the exact amount of tries, but I did the maths last week before this game, and I presume it's about similar because we got the thing. We were like 6th or 7th in terms of points scored, which is mid-table, which is kind of where we're at, really. So I'm not too worried about points scored. But Wes, you might have a fact about
tries. We're 11th in tries scored. We're 11th, according to the USC website.
But we've got a 90% kicker in JJ Hanrahan, so...
Yeah. Yeah, the table we've scored 29 tries, conceded 31, 257 points scored, 237 points conceded.
Yeah, so they're worrying statistics to me, you know, especially when we're going to talk about a shaky performance last week and a kind of performance that wasn't as good as it could have been this week. If you look at the fact that we're 11th in terms of tries scored, I know we've had a lot of the difficult opposition already, but we still We have to go away to Benetton. We have to go away to Leinster and away to Munster. These are three big fixtures, and I don't want to be going to any of those fixtures needing something.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And it is, like, it just shows you how context is important. As you said, 2 games, 9 points. You'd be like, this team's, we're humming here a little bit. The game 2 weeks ago, definitely, you know, not a good performance. I think let's talk about performance, Sam. You know, compared to 2 weeks ago, it was light years ahead, and that's what we required. That's what we asked from the team. We said watching it again. We were watching it in Cairn restaurant bar area. You know, we 3 tries kind of early on. I think what we 3 tries scored by 22 minutes, looked like we were dominating. We both looked at each other and said, this is where we would like Connacht to put the foot in the throat and be ruthless. And we didn't really see that, and we don't tend to see that with Connacht. Why do you think that is? Do you think on a certain day, did you think just Scarlets maybe sort a few things out themselves and push back, credit to them? Or did you see Connacht again just kind of fail to have that killer edge and that foot in the throat mentality?
Bit of both. I think we were over the line twice, got, you know, Smith's try got choked off rightfully, and then we're over the line again. To Butler drops one, almost carbon copy of the one that he ends up scoring. There's a lot of scoring potential there. Some good breaks, just like in the Cardiff one. There was one or two leaky passes towards the end of moves. But if you look at the context of the game, the performance, we came out flying. We nearly scored. We did score. We didn't let them out. We were pretty strong with all our running. I think we had 16 line breaks to their 6, or clean breaks to their 6. I think on the whole, the performance is a lot better than the Cardiff one. It's the lack of that killer instinct, that lack of that last pass that's ever so slightly worrying, but I think that comes with time. Eking out the wins the way we are this year might be enough for us. I think we said it 2-3 weeks ago, maybe, that if you continue to do this for 2 or 3 years, you start to question. But they were getting in the positions, you know, why Hurley Langton passes when he does to the knock-on for De Butler. He's away, but maybe he doesn't realize he's away or how close he is. So there's a couple of little brain farts there that it could have been that 40 points that we wanted if we had kind of clicked. The worrying thing for me is how out the traps we come. We capitalize even after that mistake. You know, after De Butler misses that one, he still has the wherewithal to follow up and do the exact same thing for his try. Then there's a period of time, about 10 minutes before the half until about 15 minutes into the second half, where we don't really do much. They don't do much either, and we defensively are very good. We're 90% tackle success again. I don't think they got much outside of Fifita's break for their try. We only let in 3 points kind of during a purple patch for them. They got their backs up a little bit. Yeah, they're not at full strength, but they still have, like, Sam Luisi, by Fifita. They still have some players. So I'm on the whole, I'm not too worried. Particularly, I think the result is enough there, and a lot of elements of the performance, if you go through it, I don't think anyone had a drastically bad game. I think that they're all kind of tipping away in that 6, 7, 8 range. I don't think anyone was spectacular. I think what Sean Jansen brought was very good. I think it was great to see Thornbury and himself and Niall Murray looked excellent in the line-out, and they really kind of nullified the line-out threat that Scarlett's had. And I thought De Butler had a really positive game for his debut. Dooley and Ainger both ran extremely hard and were what I want from our props. So I think Ainger is again pushing for, you know, that starting spot, even if you have Finlay Beelam, who's an amazing player. Ford and Hawkshaw, both brilliant, even if you do think the Hawkshaw's too small to play 13. I thought the two of them were excellent. So on the whole, I'm disappointed with the overall performance, because I would have liked them to have really pushed on when they got up 19-0 or whatever it was after 20 minutes. I would have liked them to push on and really been ruthless and done what a Leinster and Munster would have done at that point. But I'm extremely happy with the result. And when I watched it back today, there's a period there where we're quite dull. They have a purple patch, but we don't really give them an inch. We let them have 3 points in that purple patch. And on the whole, there's a lot of positivity and one or two good passes, or Smith not just losing control of that ball. And that's a completely different story on top of what is a positive result. So I can't take anything but positivity out of this result. It's put us back up into the top. We're now way above our kind of 50-50, which is where we like to be. We'd like to be kind of 50-50 or 60-40 in our results. And I think we're now, what is it, 7 wins and
we're
4 losses.
From 11, yeah.
Yeah, like we have more wins than Munster. We're above us. They just have a bonus point where we're a point off fourth. It's, I don't think we're in a bad position here, especially given that we all know that there's more in this team.
Yeah, it's 7 wins from 11 really does, you know, because if you had have asked me that, I would have probably said less wins than that from the 11. I don't know why, just because of some of the maybe poor performances, but the poor performances this year, we've actually kind of got wins from them, which is huge. And 5 bonus points at this stage of the season isn't bad for Connacht either. So it's interesting.
One of the Leinster or Edinburgh games, that's the killer. One of those two. I'll accept the result of one of them going the way it did if we had the other one. But the two of them, like the draw with Edinburgh or the win against Leinster in the manner in which we did them, that's where we would really be. We would be flying. We would be on such form, regardless of how we were getting the results, if one of those two had gone the other way.
Yeah, the Leinster one definitely hurt. But OSD,
Your view of the kind of success and failure of the club is distorted as well by looking at, you know, we had the European games in the middle and that campaign as a whole didn't go great. We suffered a few heavy losses. So that kind of makes you think back on the Christmas period as being a lot worse than it was. It puts in your mind that we've got more losses than we do, when in fact, in real world, 3 of those losses don't really matter to us right now. You know, we're not going to win the Highland Cup.
Yeah,
we're just trying to keep involved in it.
It's a great point. I think that's what's distorting my view of. I was like, yeah, I swear we lost more than 4 games. It's because we have, but just in different competition. Westy, you were there in the Dexcom. What was your views there in person?
My first trip to the Dexcom Stadium.
Oh, was it?
Never been to a Connacht stadium before. Not 100% sure I still have been, but, you know.
It's in the same place as the old stadium.
Yeah, my partner said it really well. It's future-proofing it. Once they finish the, the doing up of the stadium, starts with an R, renovations. Once they finish the renovations, it'll be a stadium. The atmosphere is pretty good. Now, it was bitterly cold. I think it was about I think it was about 4 degrees. The wind was very, very strong in the first half. I was watching, I think it was Michael McDonald practicing box kicks, and they were pretty much blowing back on top of him. Like, he was kicking a ball about 5 or 6 meters and it was coming back probably 4 meters. And obviously we had the wind at our backs then for the first half, and we, you know, made hay while the sun shone there. But yeah, it was, I think it was about 5,000 people or so at it, which was great. I was kind of unsure how the attendance was going to be at a game in the middle of the Six Nations, especially during a World Cup year. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if people are a bit fatigued or a bit, and the weather that was in it, it was a very easy evening to be like, oh Jesus, I'll stay at home. I think when the rain came down in the second half, a lot of us were thinking of getting out there once the bonus point was scored. But no, it was great to be. I always love going to Sports Ground. Lockdown will always make me appreciate going to Sports Ground, no matter what the weather is like. And again, it helps when you're looking at, you know, what was, in essence, a pretty good performance, a pretty strong attacking rugby from Connacht. And I thought it was great. It was a great day despite the conditions. I always find, like, the Sports Ground isn't the most boisterous or loud or like intense of environments quite often, but I always find it like a really great environment to watch games in, a really friendly environment, a really positive environment, even when it's lower attended than other games, I'd say.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Quickly want to talk about, let's talk about some players who shone on the day. Starting team, I think everyone had decent games. Great to see Gav Thornbury back in the lineup. But what we saw again, Sam, and it was highlighted in the last round as well, was the impact off the bench again, especially in that front row. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought you start with De Butler, which is, it's a risk, but obviously they put the faith in him, and you have to start integrating some future prospects, and he has been putting his hand up in some cameos in Europe. So I was really happy to see that. But Heffernan came on, and Heffernan's an experienced head. He's been up and down in terms of form the last couple of years, but when he does come on there, I think he brings another level just in terms of experience and seeing it out. With Buckley as well, you have two really good experienced people beside another fresh prospect, which is Elo, who I thought had another very good game. Dowling comes on, he brings a bit of grunt, and there was that lull I was talking about for about 15 minutes or so into the second half, and then the bench starts to get emptied, and they went with a 6-2, which they've done more times than you remember, but it's still a big deal when Connacht go for it, because you then have kind of the opportunity to change earlier as well. So you change kind of wholesale forwards, you keep someone in the back pocket as well. But I thought they brought a level of physicality, they brought a freshness, and they brought it when it was needed, which is when we needed that perk up in around that 60 to 70, sort of 65 mark, which was excellent. And then Carty comes on, you've got the club's captain coming on, which is, it just helps to see it out. So when they needed to, because we know Connacht, you know, at 19-7, I think it was, or was it even 19-10 at one point, like Connacht are vulnerable at that position. We know that. And that's not us being sensationalizing. We've seen Connacht really close or actually leak out and throw away leads of that sort. So to have that standard and caliber of player coming on and replacing and not miss a beat, like, you know, the battle for the seven jersey between Hurley Langton and Oliver is class, because they're both unbelievable players. And I think we'll probably almost struggle to keep Hurley Langton, but Oliver is such a good replacement to bring on. I think he should be starting personally. And then Sean O'Brien coming back from injury, there was some injuries on the pitch, but everything got covered. And I thought that the bench gave us that perk we needed. And that's something I found, regardless of what way we've been playing all season, I found that Pete Wilkins or the coaching staff or whoever it is, they seem to have a very, very good control and of the bench and using it and how to use it. Throughout Friend's career, like, Friend was a phenomenal coach for Connacht. Some of the results he got, some of the positions in the league and where what he did for us. But one thing we had been critical of in the last number of years was how disjointed it would seem on the pitch when we brought on wholesale or brought on new front rows. And I kept making excuses for the team, saying, oh, it all kind of goes to pot when all these changes are made and they lose the connections, whereas that seems to be the opposite at the moment and they seem to really be playing as a squad. So that's a very healthy way to be. And you look at the likes of Leinster, and that's something I've always been enviable of, is their ability to not miss a beat when they make the changes.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the next couple of rounds, the next four games are really the season for Connacht. There's seven games left, but the last three are away to Munster, home to the Stormers, and away to Leinster. You can't really be looking for a lot of points out of those three games, but the next four games, you're home to the Lions, away to Benetton, home to Zebre, and away to Dragons. Westy, Connacht have to guarantee at least that top eight spot. They have to, you know, bring in a big chunk of points in the next four games. It seems to be that's vital for the season.
Yeah, I think the Lions game is really important. Well, they're all really important games, but the Lions game will be important because, as we've talked a lot about the last two games, it's been quite stop-start, and that has been 2 weeks off, and then a game and a week off, and another game, and now we've 2 weeks off again. So it'll be interesting to see how we come out of the blocks against the Lions. By all accounts, like, they're playing very well in South Africa, but they haven't been playing well in Europe historically. If we were going to South Africa to play the Lions, I'd be a lot more worried about it. It's a game that we should win, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we will win. I think we'll have to be a lot better than we've been the last 2 weeks. Now, we were much improved on 2 weeks ago at the weekend, but we'll have to push on again, I think, if we're going to be able to take points from the Lions. That's also kind of it's not really a 6-point swing, but the Lions are a win behind us. So if we lose that game, we tumble quite far down the table, which just puts extra pressure on the guys to get out there and put in a performance. I think that, I think away to Benetton is a really tough game. I think it's a winnable game. I don't think it's going to be anywhere easy. They've been flying really high, but they've had two tough weeks now against Glasgow and Leinster. So I don't, as I said earlier, I don't necessarily want to go there needing a win. If we took, let's say, 5 points from the Lions game, that takes a little bit of pressure off that Benetton game. But it still doesn't hurt the fact that it is a massive turning point in the season. If we win that game again, by the same logic, we probably overtake Benetton and put ourselves in a much more comfortable position. Zebre game, then, we should win it. Doesn't mean we will. Again, they're playing so much better than they've been playing. They've proven the last few weeks that they're well able to score tries, even when against Munster at the weekend, against a far better team with a lot of players in international duty. They were able to run in scores. And then Dragons away as well would be a tough one. Again, I know Dragons not great at the weekend, but going to Wales, that's a time when internationals will be coming back into the squad, and that's a fixture that we have found difficult as well in the past. So, the Lions game is super, super important. As I say, beating Benetton in Italy would probably be a turning point in the season, would be a significant moment in the season, but haven't necessarily done the maths now, but you'd like that not to be the be-all and end-all. But then I'd say of the last three, Leinster, Stormers, Munster, Stormers at home, again, not fantastic at the minute, but they do tend to finish the season quite strong. So It's difficult. I think if you get the win in Benetton, you make your life a lot easier. But first and foremost, we have to get to Lions. We have to put in a strong performance and improved performance, and we have to get the win.
Looking at last year's table, 48 points was the eighth spot. We're currently on 33, so you're 15 points off that with 7 games to go. Sam, what kind of, I know point collect, you know, look, estimating points from 4 games is a silly task at the end of the day, but what would you be looking at from those 4 games? Are you looking for 10 points? Are you looking for 12? What would you think is a hugely successful tally from those 4 games?
What do you think? 4 games, 10 points. I think 10 or 12 points would be a very, very good show. And like Wesley said, Benetton away is very good, is a very hard game, but it's also, they're not in free for all, but they're not the high flying Benetton of second place of, you know, 3 rounds ago. That's how tight this is. I think there's 2 wins between 4th and 11th. So it's anyone's kind of guess. Teams above us, Ulster and Munster, have to both go to South Africa. Benetton have to go away to what is could be a resurgent Ulster. So there's plenty of knocking points off each other that's there. I think if we just get through, you know, you want to see, I think, yeah, 12 points. I think 12 points from those 3 games I'd be extremely happy with.
I think, yeah, even 10 leaves you 5 points off that 8th spot, yeah, as in from last year. 5 points from the last 3 games. Obviously, look, you could come away with 0 points, but Stormers at home, maybe, as I said, looking for a win, which is 4. And then hope, again, the Connacht that we want is the Leinster and Munster's away, like getting that losing bonus point, whether it be 4 tries or whether it be within that 7. That's what you, again, if you want to be the team that we think Connacht are, that's what you have to be doing.
Yeah, it's not just about the points themselves, though. As you said, like it's really, really close, and Benetton and Stormers are behind us on by 1, 2, and 3 points. You know, you can say that Ulster and Munster have to go to South Africa, and that's really difficult. But if they lose, we still have to win. We still have to make up those points. You know, the wins against Benetton and Stormers are worth twice their weight. The actual scores beat, if we were to beat Munster away 3 weeks from the end of the season, that'd be massive for us. But again, it's you don't want to put it on that result alone. So it's not just enough to say, I know, and you guys are totally right, like Edinburgh have to go to South Africa, Munster have to go to South Africa, Ulster have to go to South Africa. These are really difficult fixtures, but we still have to fulfill our side. We still have to get the wins and get those points and climb up the table when we're given an opportunity, because it is so close.
Yeah, but Lions have to play Stormers in South Africa as well. Everyone is playing each other because of how tight it is. So it's, I think, yeah, if you get through these games, you want to win your homes, and then I think you win your homes and you focus on Dragons away, and then Benetton is a bonus, which would be a brilliant bonus. But that's what I would concentrate on. It's like you got your home games there. You know what they are. Stormers at home is going to be harder probably than Lions, but Lions are flying at the moment. But, you know, like South Africans coming to Europe, it's the same as Europeans going to South Africa. It does. You do have that home advantage and just have to take that. And then you look at potentially getting something from that Benetton, who could, you don't know what Benetton are doing at the moment, because they could be in a little bit of a free-for-all after flying so high at the start of the season. You say it all the time, Wesley, Italy play for 60 minutes, and that's, hopefully they've just passed their 60-minute point of the league.
Yeah, I just thought of a great idea, though. Why don't we just win the next 4 games by bonus points, get to 53 points, and put the feet up for the last 3 games? Who says no?
Perfect.
Who says no?
Perfect.
Play the kids, as they used to say for the last.
Also, months, but if Leinster send a team to South Africa, they could take points off Stormers over there. Like, there's so many variables. It's one of the most interesting leagues I can ever remember because of how tight it is. Week to week, like Benetton couldn't have been better placed 3 weeks ago, and now they're below us. So it's,
yeah, they've now won the same amount of games as us, and as you said, they were second place for a long time. So it's great. It's great to see how tight it is. Yeah, it'd be interesting to track. Big few weeks coming up for Connacht. We'll move on to, you mentioned them there, Sam, Ulster rugby, a huge 2 weeks for Ulster the last 2 weeks. So obviously, Dan McFarlane leaving. A lot of rumours of players potentially going. JP Petrie was the bravest man in the world and held a Q&A with fans as CEO of Ulster, which I think overall didn't go bad, but he had some stuff to say. He said that he's looking forward to seeing McCluskey playing in Ulster next year, that Flannery is going nowhere. Again, I don't necessarily know if that will be the case. We'll find out. But they hosted the Dragons this weekend. Probably the best sort of game they could have had after Dan McFarlane leaving. The last thing you would have wanted to do is maybe go away to South Africa or something like that. So they hosted the Dragons and they come out on top 49-26, scoring 7 tries in the process. A big bonus point win at home in Ulster to, I suppose, maybe kick off the new era of the post McFarland tenure. Westy, this is just kind of what the doctor ordered for Ulster. It's a bit of positivity. They scored plenty of tries, big win, and hope looking to a brighter future.
Yeah, kind of a statement win in a way, I think. Kind of a, you know, you'd be forgiven for maybe reading a little bit too much into it and saying, oh, look how good they're doing when Dan McFarland's not around. But it's a fixture that they would have expected kind of a performance like this from anyway. Dragons, again, you know, missing players of the Wales squad, obviously at home in Ulster. But, I mean, there's probably a little bit more of excitement around the squad, like with Dan and Richie Murphy coming in. But I think this win will kind of put the win behind them a little bit and maybe give them a bit of positivity going forward. As we said, you know, their fixtures are quite difficult now going for, you know, in the next few weeks. They'll start with a game against Sharks in 3 weeks' time in Durban. Sharks not playing great at the minute, one win. But a really interesting thing, apart from South African teams, Sharks have only really played one home game against the European side. So it's, while I don't think they're playing great rugby, watching them play the Lions at the weekend, it is a type of thing where you wouldn't be too shocked to see them start to kind of build into themselves now that they have a long run of home games against a European opposition. But yeah, by all accounts, you know, Ulster have kind of started off on a positive note after Dan McFarland's left, and it's up to them now to carry that with them to South Africa.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, like, I suppose there is a lot of talk of players moving or leaving at the end of the season, all that, but like, you look at the Ulster team to play at the weekend, especially the young talent on show, like Tom Stewart, you have Cormac Izichukwu, who is so rated so highly, Harry Sheridan, you've got Jude Postlewaite at centre, James Hume isn't by no means an old player, Ethan McElroy, Mike Larry, there's some still seriously young talent at Ulster. I don't think talent's ever been the problem, but would it be the worst thing if Ulster did maybe just look at we're going to invest in the youth of the next year or two and see where that gets us? Does that buy them more time? Does that buy them a bit more grace with the fans? What do you think in terms of that?
Definitely buy more grace to the fans if they commit long term to a Murphy, or if they don't go with Murphy in the long run and they go with maybe like a Nigel Carlin, or if they can get No McNamara or somewhere. But the rumblings online are that finances are going to dictate heavily what happens here, and the fact that Murphy's already contracted by the RFU is going to make that a lot easier and a lot more cost efficient than going abroad and trying to take someone mid contract. So if they got rid of a few of the older statesmen and they look to rebuild, they buy themselves some time. But you also have fickle rugby fans. The amount of, like we said last year, oh, you have to give Wilkins time. He's a new coach, even though there's a setup and there's a change in the guard and all that. And then 4 games into it after winning 3 and we have one bad performance and fans go nuts. And that's what happens because you're passionate rugby fans and you spend your hard-earned money on season tickets and you want to enjoy it. You committing to a long-term project is a big commitment when you're outlet, like Westy said, after COVID, we're also appreciative of the fact that we can go to these games. Your outlet is your social outlet, and your enjoyment can be dictated by what 23 lads you don't know do on a pitch. So it is hard to remind yourself consistently if you are in a rebuild phase that you are in a rebuild phase. But I think that if Ulster do get rid of a couple of older statesmen, if they start to bring through that youth and they start to utilize it a bit better, that the depth of talent has never been in question at Ulster. It was the fact that, you know, Rob Balakoon is raw talent or capabilities wise, probably the highest ceiling of any of the Irish wingers, but he just was not getting on the ball in McFarland's system. No one was really outside of forwards off 9 or McCluskey off 9 or Billy Burns pulling it back to McCluskey or forwards. That was kind of their game plan. And when the mall stopped being as dominant as it had been, it stopped working. So bringing some of the players more into the game, freshening it up with a couple of more ideas and allowing some of the players to express themselves is probably a really good thing for them in the long run. It might not be plain sailing. And from what we're hearing online, there could be some players that are let go if a better contract or if any contract comes about. And that might hurt a little bit. There might be some pain. I've heard that, you know, it's pretty much, if you got something, go for it. You know, so the likes of a Kitsoff, who was a marquee signing, could walk, or, you know, we're hearing McCluskey could be going to France. There could be others that are in mid-contract that you think are safe that aren't. And that's worrying from an Ulster point of view. But Petri was saying that they're they've got tax implications because of where they're based, that the other three provinces don't on tickets and VAT and all those sort of things that they add up. And you want, for Ulster's sake, for it to be positive. So I think that the positivity could come from the likes of Postlethwaite, the likes of Ischukwu, Ballacoon getting back into form, you know, Stocktail getting back in a run. He wasn't even in the squad. Like, Lowry scored two at the weekend, and he had such a high ceiling a couple of years ago, and then he kind of fell away just after that New Zealand tour. So there's a lot there that can be very positive very quickly if they get the right mentality with Murphy.
Yeah, like, Mike Lowry's still 25. Like, it's, you know, these players aren't old. But yeah, you mentioned Ballacoon. Is he, I think, in Ireland, like, the least, what's the best way of using this, but wasted talent? In Ireland, like, his ceiling's so high and he's just not being used in the way that Barry makes, you know, that brings out the best in him. The kits off thing, like, if he leaves at the end of the season, what a weird year that's been. Like, if that happened, Cod, where they had this big marquee signing, like, now, and after a year they leave and doesn't really make an impact, you'd be heartbroken, like, you'd be gutted. Like, I do have a lot of empathy towards Ulster fans for that situation, like that, because again, I don't know if it was just poorly managed. I don't know. Probably was poorly managed. But, like, weird, weird year for Ulster. Now, again, they may finish strong and totally turn around the season, and it's a lot rosier than they think. But finances normally rule the day. But, yeah, good to see Ulster back to winning ways. Moving on then to Leinster, away to Cardiff. Good game, this. Leinster went top 33 points to 20, but Cardiff definitely put it up to them. Westy. Good performance from Leinster, but you have to, again, tip the hat to Cardiff there for putting up to, the best team in the league.
Yeah, particularly, I mean, the way Leinster started, like, I mean, Leinster was 12-0 up after 10 minutes, and, you know, it's very easy to kind of start to think, oh, here it goes again, you know, they're going to run in a couple of easy scores here now. But I think Cardiff really pulled it together, really showed that they had kind of a game plan and had kind of weren't afraid to play with attacking mentality. I think Titus De Beer has been a great signing for them, signed from the Pumas in the Currie Cup in South Africa. And yeah, like, I think it also kind of, like, Rhys Carey obviously had a great game, 2 tries, but it also, you know, you can quote Connacht and all you want, but it makes me feel a little bit better about 2 weeks ago as well. Connacht having a tough time up in Cardiff to get the win, seeing kind of just how much they were able to put Leinster under pressure at times, was heartening as well. And it's heartening for Welsh rugby even to see Cardiff Irons Park so busy. Like, Cardiff is such a great place to go for games. Irons Park is right there next to the Millennium Stadium. Like, it's almost surprising that it's not always wedged with people, because there is such a demand and such a love of rugby in Cardiff. But the last 2 weeks, seeing how busy it was and seeing the kind of seeing the demand and the appetite for rugby in Cardiff, it does give you kind of, like, I know obviously, you know, we want to see the Irish team succeed, but the league will falter if the Welsh teams, like, are in this kind of free fall for too long. So it's great to see that there is kind of signs of, I mean, it's really condescending to say signs of life, but there is signs of that the demand is there, the support is there, and for the most part, Cardiff were able to back it up on the pitch. Now, again, you can say it's a weakened Leinster team, it's this, that, and the other, but it's also a weakened Cardiff team. Leinster had a lot of players back. They had Larmer, they had the two Burns, and, you know, Cardiff were able to at least put them under pressure. I don't want to say worry them too much, because I don't really know if at any point did I think Leinster weren't going to win. Maybe around the time of the yellow card, Carey gets the second try in halftime, but typical Leinster fashion, they came flying out of the gates at halftime, and you know, Mill managed to get 2 tries. It's just that when they have such an option to fall back on, such a big, powerful, dominant pack, a rolling ball, it doesn't always breed them too much success in the big European games, but definitely in the URC, in weeks like this where teams are deficient, when they can fall back on this beautiful, powerful pack that they have, and a dynamic pack as well at that, you know, not just a big size machine rolling down, but I think when they're able to revert back to kind of a basic game plan and then build off that again, I think that's a real skill of Leinster. And that's something that, you know, that's what will keep them winning these games, I think.
Yeah, like Sam, Westy mentioned it there, halftime, just before halftime, Cardiff get on the board, score a try. A young team like that, it wouldn't be shocking for them to maybe feel the pressure of that and, you know, fold a little bit. But Leinster just never seems to happen to Leinster. Like, that's it was a young team that was listed for Leinster. But it's just so impressive, and you kind of touched on it there, Sam. Like, they just don't, like, it's just a cog in the wheel. they're almost like every position swappable. They just plug in, plug out these, you know, amazing talented youngsters, and there's obviously reasons for that. But removing that side of things, it's still very impressive that they go and just, you know, it's almost emotionless that they just get these wins.
I don't think it's emotionless at all. I actually think it's full of emotion. We spoke after Connacht played Cardiff, and you were given off about the idea that Connacht have a kind of a mental block against Cardiff. Whereas I think that Leinster literally just have a DNA. They have it. Everyone that comes through that academy and gets there is good enough to get there and knows they're good enough and is so buoyed by the fact that they've gotten into the 23 of Leinster because of how dominant they've been for years, that they all have this belief that there's better than other players. They're better. Like every player that comes in there, Osborne stands there at 13 and goes, I'm better than the other 13. And Harry Byrne stands at 12 and you think, I'm better than that other 12. And that happens and it's breeding success. And it's because of how successful they've been and because of how they've created a situation where every time they do have youngsters in, the youngsters do well. And that just breeds it again. Like the likes of Milne comes on, you know, and if it wasn't for a couple of circumstances in the last year or two, he could be in an Ireland team right now and Keane Healy could have been the lad coming on. But that wouldn't have been a step down or step up, you know. So they've got a winning mentality that I think is so ingrained in them that they can slot in players and those players look around them and they don't even see that the people beside them aren't the big, big names. They just look and they just see blue jerseys around them and they go, oh, look, we're Leinster, we know how to win. This game was one of the few that some might have scars about because of what happened last year, Cardiff away during the Six Nations. Cardiff beat them in the last kick of the game last year during the Six Nations. Forgive me if I'm wrong.
I think
on the year,
that was 2 years ago, I think.
Was that 2 years ago, was it?
I think so. I mean, time is meaningless.
But Cardiff have beaten them in the last kick of the game, so that is a thing that has happened. But like you said, they don't falter when the pressure is on, and they did have a game here. They were tested for a good portion of the time, but they still came out on top, and they still got their win. Cardiff probably deserved something from the game. Another try would have gotten them a point, or even two, if I'm doing my maths correct. They would have gotten, that would have been four tries and two losing bonus points, a four try bonus point and two losing bonus points. So it would have been sensational for them to get that from the game, given how good I thought that they actually were and how much they did challenge this Leinster team. But like you said, there's an inevitability about Leinster, which makes it very difficult in the league to fight them. But that inevitability in the last couple of years has gone out in the semi-final. So fingers crossed that happens again. bubble burst.
Bubble at the hands of officially burst.
Well, I'm just looking at the Leinster team there. You're 4-5 in the middle of the Six Nations this year is Ross Maloney, stalwart of Leinster, and Jason Jenkins, both of whom are heavily, heavily rumoured to not be there next year. You're bringing in Orgies Nyman, who averages about four games a club season over the last 4 years. And then you've got the rest of them are integral into that Ireland team. So they might have to look at signing someone else, because who did they have on the bench? Second row was Deeney. Was it Brian Deeney? So, you know, they're light on stocks because of how good their starting second rows are.
I've already seen online the Gav Thornbury stuff, and I don't like it. Don't like it that he might be going back. Don't like it.
Well, if you sign Gav Thornbury and Orgies Nyman, you have two of the greatest players propping up your hospital beds. That's so harsh on Gav Thornbury. I'm sorry, but he has not been.
Come on.
But no, like,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
He's been brilliant for Connacht, and rumor has it he's not getting re-signed, or he hasn't been offered yet. He got a 1 year kind of prove yourself contract at the end of last year, by all accounts, and he played a lot for Blackrock this season to get himself back to fitness, and he was excellent at the weekend, and I think fully fit, he's probably our best second row still, but he hasn't been able to stay on the pitch long enough. And, you know, in your team in Connacht's position, you kind of need reliability. If you're a team in Leinster's position, you're bringing in someone to cover during those Six Nations break, you need reliability. Ross Maloney has been nothing but reliable for them for his entire career, and losing him could be massive.
They always say the best ability is availability, and that's something that they definitely lack. Right, last province in action was Munster. They hosted Zebre on Friday night. One for the people who enjoy scores and tries, this was one for them. I'm going to try and do some quick maths here. 74 points in total here. 45 points versus 29. Munster come out on top. 7 tries scored. Zebre scored 4 tries as well to get the losing bonus point. But Sam, your thoughts on Munster's performance?
I thought they looked really good for a while. They came out absolutely flying. I think they score two tries in the first 10, 15 minutes, and then let Zebri back into it a little bit. It was kind of ding-dong for a while, and then towards the end of the first half, they got another couple of tries. I thought they were very sharp-looking. There was a lot of really slick stuff. I think what Rowntree is doing, it might not necessarily be always the rosiest, but I think when it comes off, they, or Prendergast and Rowntree, when it comes off, I think that they're very enjoyable to watch, which pains me to say because you know how little I like enjoying watching them play. But they're doing very, very well, and they're playing really, really well. A little bit of a scare maybe from Zebre at parts. You know, they fought back a little bit in the second half. It was probably quite iconic in the way that it didn't go as swimmingly as you want after halftime, but there was Daly played well. I thought Haley was very good. I thought Sean O'Brien was excellent as well. I'm excited to see if they get him into centre a bit, you know, now they've got Dermot McGowan for next year, because I rate him very highly. When he was at Connacht and when he left, I thought we were losing out a good one, and they played him predominantly on the wing this year. So that's an exciting prospect for them for next year. But on the whole, another good performance from them, another big score. They will be disappointed with maybe how much they let Zebre into it, but Zebre are very high scoring this year. You know, they scored a lot of points, but they also just concede way more than everyone else in the league, and that's probably why they're where they are in the table. But it's a overall, what can you complain about? In the middle of a Six Nations, you got some of your most important players not there, you got the disruption of stopping and starting, and you come out with a 5-point win at home. Like, that's, there's nothing really kind of to complain about. There's, you know, Ruan Quinn looks like quite a quality player coming through as well, so the chance to kind of bring through some of the youth, mix it in with some of the more experienced players in this squad, it was a good opportunity for them. I think that they've performed quite well in the Six Nations period.
Yeah, you know, definitely a lot of young talent there. Westie, Munster sit sixth in the league currently. You know, by no means super safe in that top 8 qualification. You would imagine they will, you know, continue and finish in the top 8. Do you think that they'll look, it's been not a great season for them, considering that they're defending champions, but at the same time, they haven't been outrageously poor. Do you think they necessarily care about that, considering the run they went on last year, especially in the playoffs to win it? Are they just trying to get to that playoff, potentially top 4, even just to get a home quarter final? But are they just, is that the mentality you think that they have?
I think so. I think Munster are a team who like to have their backs against the wall, and like to think that the world is against them. They have 2 games now, and then they go to South Africa, which would be a tough tour. But they're one of the teams that, you know, are well able to get the wins in South Africa. You know, like, look at the league final last year. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think they will overly care if the rugby they're playing is pretty or not. They will look now to get their wins, and I don't think they care if they finish 8th or 1st. I think they know that they are a finals team. They are a big moments team. And again, you know, look at last year beating Leinster in the Aviva. They didn't do it the easy way last year. There was a point when they lost to Glasgow around this time last year, but I wrote them off. I think you guys weren't too far off thinking that they were probably not going to even make the quarterfinals. So I don't think they'll be too worried. Haven't played the Crusaders there during the break. Will have given them a bit of confidence, the same way playing South Africa A last year gave them a bit of confidence. But as I say, they'll know that they can win the one-off games. They won't be too worried about league position as long as they make that 8th place. But as I say, they have a difficult run in now as well, so they will have to box a little bit clever and make sure they finish within that top 8, because they're in the same position as us, right? They're 3 points off 4th, but they're also 3 points off 11th. So it'll be a really interesting couple of weeks.
They're the same points as 4th.
And the same points as 4th.
Yeah, so. Edinburgh 4th, 5th, 6th all have 34 points. We're 7th.
Edinburgh, Ulster and Munster all going to South Africa. So it's like that could be, you know, it could be making of Ulster going on a kind of tour with a new coach, getting a result, or it could be the absolute ruining of them, or ruining of Edinburgh, who are looking to push up into that top 4. So it's so interesting with those 3 having to go and us having been already. It really makes for a kind of a good opportunity for us, but we have to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I think the best way to sum up Munster season is there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 teams above them currently in the league. Bar Leinster, I would back Munster to beat every team above them in a knockout game. That, if that makes sense. I think they'd go away to all those teams and beat them. I think that kind of sums up Munster in their mentality. And look,
they're playing a very funny brand of rugby where they're playing brilliant for periods of games. I don't think that I haven't seen them have, like, you know, a full game of 80 minutes just playing class. I think that they're playing quality. You know, they came out flying and then they finished off flying, or the week before against Scarlets, they really ran up the score. But it's not consistent yet. But when it does click, if it does, some of the rugby that their backs are playing, some of the dominance their forwards have, I think that they've got all the makings there, like you said, going on any sort of run and beating anyone on their day.
Yeah, that sums up Munster. That recaps all the provinces in action. I do want to give a shout out to Corinthians, the club that the two boys play for. What did they win at the weekend?
The J2 Cup.
J2 Cup.
Connacht J2 Cup. So lowest cup in rugby, but we won it.
Someone's got to win it. Neither Sam or Westy played in it. But still, he's played throughout the cup.
I actually don't even know if I did. I played 2 games this season. Was Claire Morris at the start of the season in the cup?
That was the cup.
I'm entitled to some sort of medal.
So, I wanted to shout that out. Obviously, all connected to Corinthians at some stage. So, well done to all the lads involved. I'm sure they had a long weekend of celebrations, knowing a lot of the lads on that team. So, maybe because you guys weren't there, that they went on and won. Especially you, Sam. A lot of wins without you this year. A lot of wins without you.
A lot of wins without me. Actually, no, I'm 50-50. I'm not even 50-50. I'm a win and a draw this year.
Undefeated, some would call that. Undefeated.
In my 2 games against Claire Morris.
Yeah, what's your beef with Claire Morris? You only play them. That wraps up the URC action. Obviously, Six Nations is back again. This is the yo-yo time of the year where it's one in, one out. Ireland play England this weekend, which is always a good one. The old rival, Sam's favourite team. England, his beloved England that we face this weekend. But we'll be back next weekend to cover all the 3 matches in the Six Nations. The fantasy is back, so if you are playing, if you're listening to this and you're playing, you're already beating us, so don't worry about beating us. But can you get into that top 5 or so? It's huge. But lads, appreciate it as always. We will catch you next week.
Night night.